بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our third session, reading from the explanation or commentaries on Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah. And tonight, بإذن الله تعالى, we're going to continue or complete what we left off last week from the first statement of Al-Imam Al-Tahawi that he begins this Aqidah with. And the comments of Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, as well as the commentary, Ta'liqat, of Al-Imam Abdulaziz Ibn Baz, Rahimahullah. And then after that, inshallah, we're going to take the second point that he mentions in this Aqidah with some brief comments from Al-Imam Al-Albani, Rahimahullah, and Sheikh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhullah. Before that, we're going to look at some of the points that we covered last week from the modified questionnaire study guide, where there are some additional questions, and the last questions were deleted because we didn't cover them last week. All right, so let's look at the first question is, mention the name, including his kunya, and year of birth and death of the Imam whose Aqidah is being highlighted here. Naam, Ahmed. Mujafar Tahawi. Tayyib. His name and grandfather's name? His name, Abu Ja'far Tahawi. Tayyib. But anybody else? Give us the rest of his name. Anybody want to give us a different answer to this question? Different answer completely. The question is, mention the name, and including his kunya, year of birth and death of the Imam whose Aqidah is being highlighted here. Who's the Imam whose Aqidah is being highlighted here? The author of the book is Al-Imam Al-Tahawi. And whose Aqidah is he highlighting here? Who's the Imam whose Aqidah he is highlighting here? He said, this is what? Dhikru Bayan, Aqidat Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah, ala Madhab, Fuqaha al Millah. Abu Hanifa is the Imam whose Aqidah is being highlighted here. Naam, somebody in the back? Naim? Al Imam Abu Hanifa. Naam, Al Imam Abu Hanifa. The question is the Imam whose Aqidah is being highlighted, not the author of the book. Not clear? Fayyib. It's clear. Tayyib. So, anybody know Imam Abu Hanifa's name? Naam.
Abu Hanifa al-Nu'man ibn Thabit.
Naam. Al-Nu'man ibn Thabit al-Kufi. Abu Hanifa. Naam. Rahimahullah. Tayyib. His date of birth and death. Year he was born and year he died. Naam. Zaki. Tayyib. He was born in the year 80 of the Hijrah and he died in the year 150. Tayyib. Second question. Mention the name, including kunya, of the second of the three imams. Second of the three imams whose Aqidah is being highlighted here. Now, Adam.
Abu Yusuf.
Yaqub ibn Ibrahim. Al-Ansari. Tayyib. Third question, mention the name, including kunya, of the third of the three imams whose Aqidah is being highlighted here. The third of the three imams. Anybody on this side? Tayyib, Fadl, Ahmed.
Abi Abdullah Muhammad ibn Hassan al-Shaybani.
Tayyib, Rahimahullah. The fourth question. This is a very important question. This question is related to the statement of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdulaziz ibn Mani, who has the first commentary on this Aqidah of Imam al-Tahawi. The question is it correct to refer to the Aqidah of these three Imams? Is it correct to refer to the Aqidah of these three Imams as the Aqidah of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah? Explain briefly. Is it correct to refer to the Aqidah of these three Imams as the Aqidah of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah? Explain briefly. Naam. Shanawaz. Okay, he's saying it's not particular to those three. So that's a point. That's correct. No doubt about it. But is this aqeedah the aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah?
Yes.
Naam. It is the aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. It's not exclusive to the three imams mentioned. It's the aqeedah of the imams of Ahl Sunnah. Naam. But it is correct to refer to it as aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The point that he's making is also correct that it's not exclusive to them. It's not, yani, something that's particular to them to the exclusion of other imams of Ahl Sunnah. Why is it that it's correct to refer to this aqidah as the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah? Naam, Abdul Wali. Tayyib. He's writing it according to the madhab of Imam Abu Hanifa and his students, yani what they believe, their aqidah. But why is it correct to say it's the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah now? Because this aqidah and the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, yani, is one, it's all based upon the Quran and Sunnah. All of the Imams, their aqidah is based upon the Quran and Sunnah. Yani, they all adhere to the Quran and Sunnah, yani, in their explanation of the aqidah. So the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is based on Quran and Sunnah. It is one aqidah. The aqidah of Imam Abu Hanifa, the aqidah of Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmed, Sufyan al-Thawri, Abdul Mubarak, and the aqidah of these imams, all of them, it is one aqidah. It is the aqidah that's derived from Quran and Sunnah. Now, the fifth question. How many are the aqsam, the divisions of Tawheed, and what are their names? How many are there, and briefly, what are they, what are their names? What is your name, man? Mahmoud? Mahmoud, naam, fadl.
There's three of them.
Okay, there are three aqsam, three categories of Tawheed.
Tawheed al-Rububiyyah.
Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, related to the Rabb.
Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah.
Uluhiyyah, yani ibadah.
And Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat.
Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, naam. Tayyib, the details of this is in the following question. Define briefly the first qism, the first division of Tawheed as mentioned by Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz rahimahullah. Yani, define the first category of Tawheed as it was, yani, mentioned by Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Baz rahimahullah. Tayyib, Yusuf. Okay, so in brief, you can say, yani, the Tawheed of Rububiyyah is the Tawheed related to the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does that mean, the actions of Allah? What are we referring to here? Naam. Ahmed. Yani, the actions of Allah, meaning that Tawheed Rububiyyah refers to Allah being the creator, that He's the one who created, and that He is the one who provides. He is the one who gives life and death. These actions of Rububiyyah are the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in brief, a person can say Tawheed or Rububiyyah is the Tawheed that relates to the actions of Allah. That He is the creator, the provider, the one who gives life and death and controls the affairs of the universe. Naam. Yani, it is to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only Rabb. Yani, the only one who, yani, exclusive to Him are these actions of creation and the like of it. And He doesn't share that with anyone. He doesn't share that with anyone. The second question, briefly, or the seventh question, briefly define the second qism of Tawheed as mentioned by Al-Imam Ibn Baz rahimahullah, yani the second division of At-Tawheed. Tayyib, what is your name, akhi? Huh? Jad, fadl. Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. Related to the actions of the human beings, yani of the acts of worship that the people are required to offer for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Add anything to that? Abdul Wali. Naam, to single out Allah, yani meaning, yani the Tawheed means to single out Allah what? For every act of worship, and that He is the only one that deserves to be worshipped, and anything that's worshipped besides Him is false. Naam.
Having Rububiyyah but no Uluhiyyah, does that make a difference?
Okay, we're going to come to that, inshallah. I think we mentioned that in passing last week in the end when we ran out of time. Yani, in other words, there's some difference, not just in what they entail, but in terms of the importance of each of them. There's a difference between yani, the importance of uluhiyya and the importance of rububiyya. Now, question number 8, the last question, defined the third qism, or category of tawheed, as mentioned by Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz. Rahimahullah. Naam. Who's that over there? Huh? Yamin? Naam, fadl. Tawheed al-asma wa sifat. Yani, naam, tawheed of asma wa sifat. What does this entail? What does this this aqeedah, tawheed of asma wa sifat entail? Who we didn't hear from yet? Naam, Dawood. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Okay, to accept the names and attributes of Allah without question. What else can we add to that? Naam, Ahmed. That are mentioned in the Quran and the authentic Sunnah. This is very important. The sources of Asma of Allah and the Sifat of Allah are the revelation. Yani, this, yani, Tawheed al Asma al Sifat, we say that it is Tawqifiyah. Yani, it is dependent upon the revelation, the Quran and Sunnah, the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Naam. So, what else did the Shaykh say concerning this as of great importance? Yani, of the names of Allah that are mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah. What else did he say? Zaki. Confirming them. Yani, ithbat, confirming these names in a manner that's befitting of Allah. In a manner that's befitting of Allah. And what else did he say? Yani, Ahmed in the back. Naam. Tayyib, yani without yani trying to explain the meanings in a way, in a particular manner, takif, or without emptying them of meaning, denying them, without distorting their meanings, yani without making tamthil or tashbih, without yani affirming them, without making any comparison between Allah and the creation. Today, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, or tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to take another look at a little bit of what we weren't unable to complete last week related to this first statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, that is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَاحِدٌ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. We're going to take another look at it because we didn't complete some of the commentary that we wanted to mention last week. So we're going to start with the explanation, and we're not going to read the whole explanation because it's a little bit lengthy and the time is going to be brief. But we're going to look at some of the comments that were made by Sheikh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhullah, concerning this first statement that indeed Allah is one and He has no partner or associate. So the statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, نَقُولُ فِي تَوْحِيدِ اللَّهِ مُعْتَقِدِينَ بِتَوْفِيقِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَاحِدٌ لا شريك له إن الله واحد لا شريك له. And we say, yani what we believe concerning the Tawheed, and our aqeedah is from the Tawfiq of Allah. Yani it's from success from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we believe being correctly is that Allah is one and He has no partner. So the Shaykh has a lengthy commentary on this particular statement where he talks about both parts of it. Yani the first part of this statement is إن الله واحد, which refers to what, in brief? Tawheed. La sharika lahu refers to what? Shirk. Shirk. So this statement contains two parts. The affirmation of Tawheed, Inna Allah wahidun, and also the negation of shirk. La sharika lahu. So the Shaykh begins by saying, Tawheed linguistically is the masdar, yani the infinitive noun from the verb wahada. And this is a linguistic point, yani it's not of great significance to those who are not studying Arabic. The meaning is to consider or to recognize something as being one, single, alone, unique. Shara'an, he said, in the Sharia, the meaning of Tawheed is ifradu Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bil ibadah wa tark ibadati ma siwahu. Yani in the Sharia, the meaning of Tawheed, it is to single out Allah exclusively for every act of worship. And also to leave off the worship of anything and everything besides him. Then the Shaykh says, the divisions of Tawheed are three based upon careful examination, istiqra, careful examination of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said that Tawheed is divided into three divisions, is that which is established in the madhab of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and whoever wants to increase on that number to say that there are four divisions or five divisions, then this ziyadah, this what he is adding to it, is from his own self. It's from his own self, and this is because the Imams of Ahl Sunnah have divided Tawheed into three divisions based upon what is found in the Quran and Sunnah. Then he goes on to briefly explain each of them, and we talked about them last week, the three divisions of Tawheed, but we're going to mention it again, yani just to reinforce this, which is of the utmost importance, that a person understands what is Tawheed, and what are the various aspects or categories of Tawheed, and what do they entail. So he says in his brief explanation, the first of these three divisions of Tawheed is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, wa huwa Tawheed Allah Ta'ala, wa ifraduhu bi-af'alihi. Yani it is to single out Allah, yani by his actions. And he says his actions meaning what? Kal-khalq, wal-rizq, wal-ihya, wa-imata, wa-tadbir al-qawm. That Allah, we single out Allah, that He is the only one that does these actions of creation and of providing and giving life and causing death and controlling the affairs of the entire universe. Therefore, there is no Rabb other than Allah, the Rabb al-Alameen. Second division. He said, Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, or Tawheed al-Ibadah. And for clarity, it might be easier for us to recognize Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, which is also referred to as Tawheed al-Ubudiyyah. And here the Shaykh says, or Tawheed al-Ibadah. Yani this expression, Tawheed al-Ibadah, is easy for a person to understand that it's related to worship. Yani the actions of the human being that are the exclusive right of Allah alone, that every act of worship belongs to Him. He said, the second division is Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah or Tawheed al-Ibadah. And that's because al-Uluhiyyah, he said, it actually means the worship of Allah Azza wa Jalla. بِمَحَبَّتِهِ وَخَوْفِهِ وَرَجَاعِهِ وَطَاعَةَ عَمْرِهِ وَتَرْكْ مَا نَهَى عَنْهُ. Yani the Tawheed or Uluhiyyah, it means to worship Allah by loving Him and by fearing Him and having hope in Him and obeying His commands and leaving off the things that He has prohibited. Yani Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, it is, yani, that a person offers these acts of worship to Allah, love and hope and fear, obeying Allah's commands and avoiding His prohibitions. All of this are from the actions of the human being that is the right of Allah alone. He said, فَهُوَ إِفْرَادُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى بِأَفْعَالِ الْإِبَادِ أَلَّتِي شَرَعَهَا لَهُمْ. Yani, Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah or Tawheed al-Ibadah, it is, yani, the Tawheed, singling out Allah by the actions of the worshippers, their worship, their ibadah, which Allah has legislated for them. Yani the worship that Allah has legislated for them. Not any kind of worship, but the worship that Allah has legislated. Because people are worshipping the worship that Allah has not legislated. So this is very important that he said here, أَفْعَالَ الْإِبَادَ الَّتِي شَرَعَ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ. Not just the actions of the human beings, but the actions of the human beings that Allah has legislated for them. The third division, he said, Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, wa huwa ithbat ma athbatahu Allah li nafsihi wa athbatahu lahu rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min al-Asma wa Sifat wa tanzihuhu amma nazzahahu amma nazzahu anhu nafsahu wa nazzahahu anhu rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam min al-uyub wa naqais. Yani Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, it is to affirm, to confirm what Allah has affirmed for Himself, that which He confirms for Himself as being from His names and being from His qualities or characteristics, as well as that which His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has confirmed for Him. Confirming what Allah affirms for Himself and what the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam confirms for Him from amongst the names and the sifat, the qualities or characteristics that came in the revelation. In addition to the ithbat, there's also tanzih. That is to negate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that which he negated from himself, and that which the messenger, his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has negated from him, yani that he has declared that these are not from his characteristics, those things that indicate any kind of defect or deficiency or shortcoming. Affirming what Allah has affirmed for himself and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and negating what he has negated from himself and what the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has negated, yani in terms of characteristics or qualities of defect or deficiency or shortcoming. Then the Shaykh said, and I'm not going to read all of what he said, but I'm getting to the point now that we want to really emphasize. He said, all of the ayats that talk about the actions of Allah, this is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. And all of the ayat that talk about ibadah, worship, and the command to worship, and the call to worship Allah alone, this is all Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, or Tawheed al-Ibadah. And all of the ayats that talk about al-Asma wa Sifat, yani that belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat. And then the Shaykh says, and this is the real point that we want to make emphasis on in terms of these three divisions of Tawheed, Shaykh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhullah says, هذه الأقسام الثلاثة المطلوب منها هو توحيد الألوهية. يعني amongst these three categories of Tawheed, the one that is matloob, that is sought, that we are focused, that is in our intent, that is our goal, it is Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. That is what is the matloob, the thing that is required or sought. Why? لأنه يعني توحيد الألوهية هو الذي دعت إليه الرسل ونزلت به الكتب وقام من أجله الجهاد في سبيل الله. Yani it is Tawheed al-Ubudiyyah, Tawheed al-Ibadah, that the messengers were sent to call to, and the revelations were sent down to establish, and jihad in the way of Allah was also yani set up in order to establish yani the Tawheed of al-Uluhiyyah. حتى يعبد الله وحده وتترك عبادة ما سواه. And this is so that yani the messengers were sent and the revelations were revealed and jihad was established so that Allah would be worshipped alone, and that everything yani that is worshipped besides him would be abandoned. And then the Shaykh talks about yani, he says, as for Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, and part of Tawheed al-Rububiyyah is Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, he said almost no one in the creation rejected this. And Allah has mentioned this in many ayats, that the disbelievers, yani, that they agreed to the fact that Allah is the creator and the provider and the one who gives life and death and who controls all the affairs. They didn't oppose this. Therefore, هذا النوع, yani Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, this type, إذا اقتصر عليه الإنسان, لا يدخله ذلك في الإسلام. Yani if a person limits themselves to Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, they say Allah is the creator, he's the one who gives life and death, he's the one who controls all affairs. If a person limits themselves to that and doesn't take it to the next step of worshipping Allah alone, this doesn't make a person a Muslim. They would not be considered a Muslim. And that is because the Prophet ﷺ fought against the people who agreed to Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. And he considered their blood and he considered their wealth to be lawful. So if Tawheed al-Rububiyyah was sufficient, then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not have fought these people. Rather, there wouldn't have even been a need to send messengers if Tawheed al-Rububiyyah was sufficient, because everybody agreed to that already. Everybody already agreed to that. فَدَلَّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْمَقْصُودِ وَالْمَطْلُوبِ هُوَ تَوْهِيدْ الْأُلُوهِيَّ. And this is an indication, a proof, that what is desired, yani the maqsood, what is intended, and the matloob, what is sought, it is Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. And this is important that we understand this, that each aspect of Tawheed is necessary for us to know and to understand and to comply with. But what we are really concerned about here, the problem, is the area of Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, the Tawheed of worship. And then he goes on to say that Tawheed al-Rububiyyah is a dalil, it's an ayat, yani it's an indication, it's a proof, it's a sign of the necessity of worshipping Allah alone. It's a necessity of worshipping Allah alone. For that reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He ordered the people to worship Him, He mentions the proof why He should be worshipped. He is the one who created the heavens and earth. He's the one who controls all affairs. That's a proof then, if you admit that, and they admitted that, then that's a proof that if He's the only creator, and He's the only provider, and He's the one who gives life and death, and He's the one who controls all affairs, then He's the one that should be worshipped alone. And this is yani a proof of Burhan, he said, that forces the disbelievers and the mushrikeen, yani who acknowledge rububiyyah, that you know, while denying uluhiyyah, this is a proof against them, forcing them yani to acknowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one that deserves to be worshipped. And then he mentions some ayats from the Quran for the sake of time. Any of those ayats indicate, as he said, that these people, they didn't want tawheed al-uluhiyyah. They did not want tawheed al-uluhiyyah. Rather, they wanted that there would be many gods and that everybody can worship whatever they want to worship. Have He made all of our gods into one God? And they want many gods so everybody can worship whatever they like. Then the Shaykh also goes to some any points here that we want to try to get through quickly. He says, so it's obligatory for this to be known. For it to be known that Tawheed Rububiyyah is not sufficient. That a person has to acknowledge and act upon and comply with the right of Allah exclusively to be worshipped alone. He said it should be known because all of the people of the deviant sects of past and present, they all concentrate on Tawheed Rububiyyah. And if a person agrees to Tawheed Rububiyyah, that Allah is the creator and Allah is the provider, they say this person is a Muslim based on Rububiyyah alone. And their aqidahs are based upon this, that they have written, is based upon yani, that the fact that, or their belief that Tawheed or Rububiyyah is sufficient. And this is what, yani, what their aqidah is based upon this. It doesn't go outside of Rububiyyah and the evidences that establish Allah as being the creator without calling the people to worship Allah alone. And this is not sufficient. Rather, it is, uluhiyyah is a necessity. And then he mentions ayat kadhalik, yani, concerning this from amongst them. Is Surah An-Nahl 16th Surah 36 ayat وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتَ. That we have sent a mission to every nation, a messenger, calling the people to worship Allah alone and to avoid the worship of the false gods, the taghut. The Shaykh Salih Fawzan, he says here, رَحِمَهُ Hafidhullah, he said, so the messengers that were sent to every nation were commanding the people to worship Allah alone. And this is Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. And then he also mentioned from Surah Al-Anbiya, 21st Surah, 25th Ayat, and Surah Al-Nisa, 4th Surah, 36th Ayat. The ayats that prove that the messengers were sent and the revelations were revealed, calling the people to worship Allah alone and not to worship anything along with Him. Then he closes by saying, all of the ayats are commanding with Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, Tawheed of Ibadah, and calling the people to Tawheed of Ibadah. And all of the messengers also, they called to Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah and commanded their nations with Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, Tawheed al-Ibadah. And they prohibited their peoples from shirk. And he closes by saying, هَذَا هُوَ الْمَطْلُوبُ وَالْغَايَةُ وَالْقَصْدُ مِنَ التَّوْهِيدِ. Yani, the thing that is, yani, that is sought, that should be going after the ghaya, the goal, the qasd, yani the intent should be tawheed of ibadah. And then he mentions that some of the deviant groups like the Jahmiyyah and Mu'tazila and Ash'ariyah, that they did have some problems with tawheed al-asma wa sifat in varying degrees, some of them accepting or rejecting more than others. So that was from yani the completion of the first part of the first statement of al-Imam At-Tahawi, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَاحِدٌ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. And the first part is dealing with Allah being one, alone, unique. Yani in His right to be worshipped. The second part of that statement we're going to look at tonight, and maybe the second statement as well that comes after it, لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. So from the commentaries that came concerning this is the ta'liq of Al-Imam Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani rahimahullah. He says concerning this statement, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَاحِدٌ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. He says, إِنَّ نَفْيَ الشَّرِيكِ عَنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى لَا يَتِمُّ إِلَّا بِنَفْيِ ثَلَاثَةِ أَنْوَاعٍ مِنَ الشِّرْكِ. Yani that the negation of Allah having a partner or an associate or an equal, this negation is not complete except that a person negates three types of shirk. Three anwa. Al-awwal, al-shirk fi rububiyyah. The first type of shirk is shirk in rububiyyah. He goes on to say after some discussion, the second type of shirk is shirk in uluhiyyah or ubudiyyah. And the third type of shirk is shirk in the sifat of Allah, the qualities and characteristics of Allah. And each one of them he has some commentary upon. We're going to look at what he says here and concerning the anwa' of al-shirk. The first one he says is in al-rububiyyah, in Allah's yani lordship, that Allah is the only Rabb. وَذَلِكَ What is this shirk in rububiyyah? He said, ذَلِكَ بِأَنْ يُعْتَقَدْ أَنَّ مَعَ اللَّهِ خَالِقًا آخَرَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى It is that a person believes that along with Allah there is another creator. Yani shirk in rububiyyah is that a person believes that along with Allah there is another creator. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. كَمَا هُوَ اَعْتِقَالُ الْمَجُوسِ As it is the aqidah of the Majus, yani the fire worshippers. Al-qailina bi-anna lil-shar khaliqan ghayra Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani the Majus, their belief was that evil has a creator that creates evil other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's a creator of good and there's a creator of evil according to them. So he said this is an example of shirk in Rububiyyah, that there somebody believes that there is a creator besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said this type of shirk in this ummah, the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is qaleel. Yani it's rare. There are not many people in the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who have this type, who have fallen into this type of shirk. Alhamdulillah. وَإِنْ كَانَ قَرِيبًا مِنْهُ قَوْلَ الْمُعْتَزِلَةِ إِنَّ الشَّرْ إِنَّمَا هُوَ مِنْ خَلْقَ الْإِنسَانِ Even though this exact shirk of the Majus is rare, in the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but near to it is the opinion or the belief of the Mu'tazila who believe that evil is from the creation of the human being. And the human being creates his evil. And his evil actions are his creation. He said this is similar to the belief of the Majus. وَإِلَى ذَلِكَ إِشَارَ بِقَوْلِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْقَدَرِيَّ مَجُوسَ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ And he said this is yani indicated in the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Qadariyya, yani the Mu'tazila, from their beliefs is the false belief in Qadr. Yani their false belief in Qadr. So they are also known as Qadariyah from the perspective of the belief in the Iman in Qadr. He said, so the Prophet ﷺ said the Qadariyah. He's referring to the Mu'tazila on this particular issue. He said they are the Majus of this Ummah. And he said this hadith, I have mentioned it in several places. And you can see it in Sahih al-Jami' al-Saghir wa Ziyadah. Hadith number 4318. Second type of shirk, a shirk fi uluhiyya wal ubudiyya, yani the shirk that is in Allah's uluhiyya or Allah's ubudiyya or in worship. Wa huwa an yu'bad ma'a Allah ghayruhu min al-anbiya wa salihin. It is that something other than Allah is worshipped along with him, like from amongst the prophets or the righteous, that something is worshipped along with Allah. كَالْ إِسْتِغَاثَ بِهِمْ وَنِدَائِهِمْ عِنْدَ الشَّدَائِدِ Such like a person who calls upon other than Allah, calls upon a prophet or a righteous person, yani the awliya of Allah as they say, or something like this, when they are in dire need, when they are desperate, or calling out to them, yani in these difficult situations or whatever is similar to that. Yani this is yani a person calling on other than Allah, yani in time of need or in difficulty, yani this is yani worship that is due to Allah alone. He said this is shirk in ubudiyyah. وَهَذَا مَعَ الْأَسِفِ فِي هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ كَثِيرٌ He said unfortunately this is something that is plentiful, is abundant, is rampant in this ummah. And the people who carry the greatest responsibility for it is al-mashayikh al-ladina يؤيدون هذا النوع من الشرك باسم التوسل يسمونها بغير اسمها He said, the people who are most responsible for this are the scholars who support this calling on other than Allah by calling it tawassul. Yani calling it by name other than its name. Yani it's shirk. He said these people have the greatest responsibility, yani for this, yani wide rampant practice amongst the people of this ummah, going to the graves and so on, calling on the dead. The third type of shirk, he says, is shirk fi sifat. Yani concerning the qualities and descriptions and characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what does it entail? He said, وَذَلِكَ بِأَنْ يَصِفَ بَعْدَ خَلْقِهِ تَعَالَى بِبَعْدِ الصِّفَاتِ الْخَاصَةِ بِهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ كَعِلْمَ الْغَيْبِ مَثَلًا. He said, it is that someone or something from the creation of Allah is being described with some of those sifat, al-khasa, as-sifat al-khasa, bihi, yani meaning those qualities or characteristics that are exclusive for Allah alone. That something in the creation is being described with a description from those descriptions or qualities or characteristics that are exclusive to Allah alone. For example, claiming that someone or something in the creation has knowledge of the unseen. وَهَذَا نَوْ مُنْتَشِرْ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِنَ الصُّوفِيَّةِ. And this type of shirk, yani in sifat, is widespread amongst many of the people of Sufiya and those who are affected by them. For example, the saying of some of them in praising the Prophet ﷺ, they said, فَإِنَّ مِنْ جُودِكَ الدُّنْيَا وَدَرَّتَهَا. Yani from your jood. Yani they're talking about the Prophet ﷺ. They're saying from his generosity is the world and the hereafter. Yani that this is the Prophet. He owns the dunya and the next life. وَمِنْ عُلُومِكَ عِلْمَ اللَّوْحِ وَالْقَلَمِ. And from your knowledge, your vast knowledge is the knowledge of the لوح المحفوظ. Yani the Prophet ﷺ, they're saying that the what is in the لوح المحفوظ and the قلم, this is yani from the knowledge that belongs to the Prophet ﷺ. He said, so this is an example of what those people who give a description of a characteristic or quality to a human being or a creature that is exclusive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So from here, he said, comes the misguidance of some of the Dajjaleen. Yani the people who go to the extreme in their falsehood. And misguidance and misleading the people. Some of them who claimed that they see the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam today, alive and awake. Not in a dream. That they actually see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they ask him about some things that are hidden from the inward, yani, being of the people that they are around. Like what's happening inside of a person. They're asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about it, and he's telling them. So they are claiming to the people, I know what you're thinking. I know what's happening secretly inside of you. And he said, this is because they want to take control and have an authority over the affairs of some of the people. Yani they use this claim that they actually see the Prophet ﷺ in a awake state, and they ask him about things that are unknown to others, and he tells them, and in this, yani this authorizes them or gives them some kind of authority to take control of the affairs of the people. The Shaykh, he closes this point by saying, and the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, he didn't used to know the like of this when he was living. And he didn't know the unseen things when he was living. So how then, yani, can he know it after he has died and returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he mentions the ayah from Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 188th ayah. وَلَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمَ الْغَيْبِ لَاسْتَكْثَرْتُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ وَمَا مَسَّنِيَ السُّوءِ. That if I had known the unseen, if I had knowledge of the unseen, then I would have been able to accumulate plenty of good, and no harm would have touched me. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being directed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inform the people that he doesn't have knowledge of the unseen, not while he was living, all the more so after he has passed away. Then the Shaykh closes by saying, هذه الأنواع ثلاثة من الشرك من نفاها عن الله في توحيده إياه فوحده في ذاته وفي عبادته وفي صفاته فهو الموحد الذي تشمله كل الفضائل الخاصة بالموحدين. يعني the person who negates from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his Tawheed of Allah, who negates these three types of shirk, and they single out Allah alone in His that, that He is the only divine being, and in His ibadah, that He is the only one that deserves to be worshipped, and in His sifat, those qualities or characteristics that are exclusive to Him alone. Whoever singles out Allah in this way and negates these three types of shirk, then he is the muwahid that is included amongst those special virtues of the people of Tawheed. He's included amongst those people. وَمَنْ أَخَلَّ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْهُ And whoever transgresses or violates any one of these three types of shirk, or Tawheed, by committing shirk in any of them, هُوَ الَّذِي يَتَوَجَّ إِلَيْهِ مِثْلُ قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ In Surah Az-Zumar, 39th Surah, 65th Ayah, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if you were to, he's talking to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you were to commit shirk, then you have destroyed your deeds and you will be amongst the losers. Shaykh is saying that, if that is addressed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then what about the rest of the people? If anybody commits shirk, they will destroy their deeds. They will destroy their deeds. He said, فَحْفَظْ هَذَا فَإِنَّهُ أَحَمُّ الشَّيْءِ فِي الْعَقِيدَةِ And he memorized this, preserve this, because this is the most important thing in aqeedah. And that a person establish tawheed and that they avoid shirk. And that's why ignorant people claim all they talk about is tawheed and shirk. And why not? If that is the most important thing. It is the most dangerous thing, the thing that will cause a person to lose everything. He said, there's no doubt that the author, rahimahullah, and he began with this matter, the tawheed and shirk, because it is the most important thing. And whoever wants the details, then he can go back to the sharh of this book. He means the sharh of Al-Imam Ibn Abil Izz for the book of At-Tahawi. He said, you can go back to that book, or you can go back to the books of Shuyukh al-Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah, wa Ibn al-Qayyim, wa Ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahumullah, and other than them, from the people who followed in their footsteps, and the people who traveled on their same path. And he closed, making dua for the people of Iman before us. Rabbana aghfir lana wa li ikhwanina alladhina sabaquna bil Iman. O Allah, forgive us and forgive our brothers who preceded us in Iman. The second point of the aqidah of Al-Imam Al-Tahawi, the second point, he says, after إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَاحِدٌ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَلَا شَيْءَ مِثْلُهُ وَلَا شَيْءَ مِثْلُهُ And there is nothing that is like Him. There is nothing that is like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Imam Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani, rahimahullah, he says concerning this, هَذَا أَصْلٌ مِنْ أُصُولِ التَّوْهِيدِ This is a foundation, a fundamental matter from the fundamentals of Tawheed. What is it? That there's nothing like Allah, nothing similar to Allah, nothing equal to Allah. This is a foundation from the foundations of Tawheed. وَهُوَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ And that is, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there is nothing like Him. There is nothing like Him. لا في ذاته ولا في صفاته ولا في أفعاله There is nothing like Him in His that, His divine being. There is nothing like Him in His sifat, His qualities or characteristics. And there is nothing like Him in His actions of creating and providing and giving life and death. There is nothing like Him, similar to Him, equal to Him, comparable. ولكن المبتدع but the people of innovation, he said, المتأولة قد اتخذوه أصلا لإنكار كثير من صفات الله تبارك وتعالى But the people of deviation, the people who gave false interpretations to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described Himself with in the Quran that came in the Sunnah, he said, these people have taken this ayat, nothing is like Him, they have taken it to reject, as a means to reject, and to deny many of the sifat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So every time, يعني ضاقت قلوبهم عن الإيمان بصفة من صفاته عز وجل صلتوا عليها معاولة التأويل والحدم فأنكروها واستدلوا على ذلك بقوله تعالى ليس كمثله شيء. يعني every time their hearts were tight or narrow in accepting, يعني having iman in any one of the sifat of Allah, whenever they didn't like one of them, they didn't يعني accept it, they couldn't surrender and accept it, then they use the acts of ta'wil and hadam, يعني the instrument of destruction, يعني that is ta'wil, re-explaining, given false interpretations to what is the meaning of these sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this way, by giving it a false interpretation other than its real meaning, they rejected it. And they use as a proof for this rejection the saying of Allah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِي شَيْءٌ, that there is nothing like Him. So whenever a sifa came, a characteristic quality they didn't like, they said, it can't be that meaning because that would be like created beings. So they used it to reject the sifat of Allah that they didn't want to accept. And they said, there's nothing like Him. مُتَجَاهِلِينَ بِتَمَامِ الْآيَةِ وَهُوَ السَّمِيلَ وَهُوَ السَّمِيلَ بَصِيرٌ. Yani they acted as though they were ignorant of the يعني the completion of the ayat. Allah said there's nothing like Him, but then He also said in the same ayat, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, and He is the one who hears everything and who sees everything. This is Surah Ash-Shura. I don't know if it's 41 or 41st or 42nd Surah. Surah Ash-Shura, huh? 42? 42nd Surah, 11th ayat. فَهِيَ قَدْ جَمَعَتْ بَيْنَ التَّنْزِيعِ وَالْإِثْبَاتِ. So this ayat joins or combines between At-tanzih, negating from Allah anything being similar or like Him, and at the same time, al-ithbat, affirming that He has these qualities and characteristics. Yani that He is as-sami', the one who hears everything. So He has hearing, and He is al-basir, the one who sees everything, so He has sight. So this ayat combines these two principles of negating from Allah anything being like Him, laysa kamithli shay, and at the same time, affirming that يعني he has these names and these characteristics or qualities. So the Shaykh, he closes this point by saying, فَمَنْ أَرَادَ السَّلَامَ فِي عَقِيدَتِهِ فَعَلَيْهِ أَنْ يُنَزِّحَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى عَنْ مُشَابَهَتِهِ لِلْحَوَادِثِ دُونَ تَأْوِيلٍ أَوْ تَعْطِيلٍ وَأَنْ يُثْبِتَ لَهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ مِنَ الصِّفَاتِ كُلَّ مَا أَثْبَتَهُ لِنَفْسِهِ فِي كِتَابِهِ أو حديث نبيه دون التمثيل. So whoever wants to be safe in his aqidah, then it is incumbent upon that person to negate from Allah any comparison, any similarities with the created things. Negate it from Allah, any similarity with the created things, but without ta'wil and without ta'atil. يعني negate from Allah any similarity to the created beings, but without giving some false interpretation to what Allah has affirmed for Himself. And without يعني denying their meanings, emptying them of meanings. Secondly, يعني whoever wants to be safe in his aqidah, he has to negate from Allah any similarity to created beings, but without ta'wil and ta'atil. And he has to affirm for Allah Azza wa Jalla the sifat which he has confirmed for himself in his book or in a hadith of his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without tamthil. So there's negation without giving false interpretations or emptying it of meaning. And there's affirmation without making examples of similarities. So the negation is there, but no false interpretation or emptying of meaning. And the affirmation is there as well, but without making tamthil. And sometimes tashbih is also used, even though there's a slight difference in the meaning of tamthil and tashbih. But in any case, the point here is that there shouldn't be any examples or similarities made between Allah and the creation in His characteristics and the characteristics of the created beings. وَهَذَا هُوَ مَذْهَبُ السَّلَفِ وَعَلَيْهِ الْمُصَنِّفِ رَحِمُهُ اللَّهِ تَبَعًا لِأَبِي حَنِيفَةِ وَسَاعِرَ الْأَئِمَّةِ كَمَا تراه مفصلا في الشرح فبهداهم اقتدي. Surah Al-An'am 6 Surah 90th Ayah. And the Shaykh is saying, so this in terms of يعني these different aspects of shirk and what is required for a person to avoid them. And he's saying that this is the madhab of the Salaf, and this is the madhab of the author. The author, yani al-Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah. In following al-Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, and the rest of the Imams of the people of Sunnah. And you can see this in details in the Sharh of Ibn Abi al-Izz, in his Sharh of this Aqidah of al-Imam al-Tahawi. And the Shaykh closes with the ayah from Surah Al-An'am 690. Yani, so their guidance, so take their guidance and follow it. Yani, the guidance of those who came before us, the prophets and the messengers and the people from amongst the Salaf. After this, so also concerning this second point, وَلَا شَيْءَ مِثْرُهُ, and there's nothing like him, Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ, may Allah protect and preserve him, also makes some brief comments in his ta'liqat al-muqtasara. He says, وَلَا شَيْءَ مِثْرُهُ, and there's nothing like him. This statement of al-Imam al-Tahawi is ma'akhudh min qawlihi ta'ala laysa kamithlihi shay'un. Yani, it is derived from the saying of Allah the Most High, and there's nothing like him. Surah Ash-Shura, 42nd Surah, 11th Ayah. وَقَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. And also, it is derived, that there's nothing like him, is derived also from the saying of Allah the Most High, and there's no one that is a equal or is comparable. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. There's no one that can be compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Surah Al-Ikhlas, 112 Surah, 4th Ayah. And also the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, looks like 22nd Ayah. This print is kind of small. I can't see well. In any case, 22nd, Jazakallah khair. وَقَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, so don't set up with Allah any andad. Anid is making something equal to Allah. Yani, considering something to be like Allah and therefore equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said here, the meaning is shubaha aw nudhara. Yani, shabih or nadhir means something that is similar, that resembles or is like something else. So he said, these ayat and others besides them are, yani, the basis or the origin of this statement of the Imam, وَلَا شَيْءَ مِثْلُهُ, and there's nothing like him, nothing similar to him, nothing comparable to him or equal to him. He said, and also from amongst those sayings is from Surah Maryam, 19th Surah, 65th Ayah, the saying of Allah the Most High, هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيًّا. Do you know that Allah has any سَمِيًّا? And the Shaykh Salih Fawzan says, A, yani he says the meaning of this ayat, do you know that Allah has any sami? He says, mumathil, yusamihi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, do you know? Yani, this is like a question. The meaning of it is that there's no such thing. And you know that there is not any sami, anybody who has the same name as Allah, meaning the meaning of those names. He said, mumathil, that is like him, yusamihi subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, anyone that, yani, will be like Allah to the extent that they can, yani, vie or seek to surpass him or to, yani, seek superiority. Yani, there's nothing equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, in his tafsir of this ayah, he mentions two statements from Abdul ibn Abbas that the meaning of samiyya here, he said, in one statement he said, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, هل تعلم للرب مثلا أو شبها. Do you know that the Rabb, Rabb al-Alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has any one that is like him or similar to him? And in another statement, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentions from Ibn Abbas, it's reported that he said, ليس أحد يسمى الرحمن غيره تبارك وتعالى وتقدس اسمه. Yani, he said that the meaning of this ayat is that there is no one who is named Ar-Rahman other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the meaning here is that there is no one that has his names Yani meaning the meaning of those names, not just the title, but the meaning. And there's no one that is like him or similar to him. And all of these ayats, the Shaykh is mentioning here, what? To prove the point that there's nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, التمثيل والتشبيه منفياني عن الله عز وجل. That تمثيل, making examples between Allah and the creation, or تشبيه, making similarities between Allah and the creation, are both negated from Allah عز وجل. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said in his book, Al-Qawaid al-Muthla, and he's dealing with the rules of Asma al-Sifat, in one of the principles of Sifat, he said that that the two dangerous things in sifat is that a person yani engages in yani tamthil or other than that. And he said, on reference to tamthil, he said similar to it is tashbih. That tamthil and tashbih are similar, except that with tamthil, it is the belief that something is equal from every angle, in every aspect. And tashbih means that something is equal from most of its characteristics or aspects. So they are similar in meaning. He said that these are negated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا يُشْبِهُ أَحَدٌ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ. There's no one from amongst his creation that resembles him. وَهَذَا هُوَ الْوَاجِبُ. And this is obligatory upon us to not think that anything resembles Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَنُّثْبِتَ مَا أَثْبَتَهُ اللَّهِ لِنَفْسِهِ وَنَعَتَقِدَهُ وَلَا نُشَبِّحَهُ بِأَحَدٍ مِّنْ خَلْقِهِ. He said, so, it is obligatory upon us to confirm or to affirm what Allah has affirmed for Himself, and this, that this be our aqidah, this is what we believe. And we do not make any resemblance to Allah with anything from amongst His creation, and do not make any examples of Allah with anything from His creation. وَهَذَا فِيهِ رَدٌ عَلَى الْمُشَبِّهَةِ الَّذِينَ يَعْتَقِدُونَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ مِثْلُ خَلْقِهِ وَلَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بَيْنَ الْخَالِقِ وَالْمَخْلُوقِ وَهَذَا مَذْهَبْ بَاطِلٌ. He said, so this statement and these ayat, yani that there's nothing like him, and these ayat that prove it, that there's nothing similar or equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are a refutation against the mushabbiha, those who make resemblance between Allah and the creation. He said, those who believe that Allah is like His creation, yani that some of the characteristics of Allah are like the characteristics of the creation, and they don't make any distinction. لا يفرقون بين الخالق والمخلوق. They don't make a distinction between the creator and the creation. And this is a false madhab. وفي مقابله مذهب المعطلة. And the opposite of it is the madhab of the mu'attila, yani the people of ta'atil, the people who empty the names and qualities, characteristics of Allah from their meanings. They make them inoperative, like, yani you recognize the expression, but it has no meaning. الَّذِينَ غَلَوْا فِي تَنْزِيحِ حَتَّى نَفَوْا عَنِ اللَّهِ مَا أَثْبَتَهُ مِنْ الْأَسْمَاءِ وَالصِّفَاتِ فِرَارًا مِنَ التَّشْبِيهِ بِزَعْمِهِمْ. Yani the mu'attila, or the opposite of the mushabbiha. The mushabbiha, they make comparisons and resemblance between Allah and the creation. And the mu'attila, they are the opposite of them. Yani they go to the other extreme. They negate everything that they don't want to accept because they claim that, yani he said, they went to the extreme in negating to the extent that they negated the asma and sifat that Allah affirmed for Himself. They negated them, fleeing, according to their claim, from tashbih, from going into the opposite, the other group of people. Other deviants, they want to compare everything between Allah and the creation. And these people, in order to avoid that, they claim, so we negate everything. We negate everything, according to their claim. And both of these groups, the Shaykh said, went to the extreme. Both of them went to extreme. Al-Mu'attila, غَلَوْا فِي التَّنْزِيهِ وَالنَّفِي الْمُمَاثِلَ. Yani the mu'attila, the people who empty the names and sifat of Allah from their meanings, went to the extreme in negating from Allah and negating any likeness between Allah and the creation. They went to the extreme in it, to the extent that they even negated what Allah affirmed for Himself. وَالْمُشَبِّهَ غَلَوْا فِي الْإِثْبَاتِ. And the mushabbiha, those who make tashbih, who make resemblance and similarities between Allah and the creation, they went to the extreme in affirming what Allah yani affirmed for Himself. Yani they went to the extreme such to the extent that they made it like they affirmed for Allah what He affirmed for Himself in a way that they made it, yani just like the same qualities or characteristics in the creation. And then the Shaykh says, the middle course, yani the correct view concerning this, we're going to end with this, وَأَهْلِ السُّنَّ وَالْجَمَعَةَ تَوَسَّطُوا. So the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah took the middle path. فَأَثْبَتُوا مَا أَثْبَتَهُ اللَّهُ لِنَفْسِهِ عَلَى مَا يَلِيكُ بِجِلَالِهِ. Yani, so they confirmed for Allah what He confirmed for Himself in a manner that is befitting of His majesty and His glory and His greatness. Yani, they affirmed it in a way that is suitable and befitting of Allah's glory and His majesty and His greatness. مِنْ غَيْرِ التَّشْبِيهِ وَلَا تَعْتِيلِ عَلَى حَدْ قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Yani, they affirmed for Allah what He affirmed for Himself in a manner that's befitting of His majesty, in a manner that's yani suitable for Allah, the Creator, the Divine Being, different than anything in the creation. Without making comparison or similarities, tashbih, and without doing ta'atil, emptying it of meaning, denying its meaning, based upon the saying of Allah the Most High in Surah Ash-Shura, there's nothing like Him, yani the negation of any similarity or likeness, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, while affirming that He is the All-Hearing and the All-Seeing. فَقَوْلُهُ لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ نَفْيُ لِلْتَشْبِيهِ. And He's saying there's nothing like Him is the negation of any comparison or similarity or likeness between Allah and the creation. وَقَوْلُهُ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. And He's saying that He is the All-Hearing, the All-Seeing, is نَفْيُ لِلْتَعْتِيلِ, is the negation of, yani, emptying these words of their meanings, these names and sifat of their meaning. وَهَذَا الْمَذْهَبُ الَّذِي يَسِيرُ عَلَيْهِ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ. And this is the madhab that the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah are upon. وَلِهَذَا يُقَالُ الْمُعَتِّلَ يَعْبُدُ عَدَمًا وَالْمُشَبِّحَ يَعْبُدُ صَنَمًا وَالْمُوَحِّدْ يَعْبُدُ إِلَاحًا وَاحِدًا فَرْدًا صَمَدًا. For this reason, because of this yani extremism of the Mu'attila, of negating Allah's meanings, they said, so the Mu'attila, they worship something that doesn't exist. If they negated Allah's names and qualities, so they are really worshipping something that doesn't exist. And the Mushabbiha, who made similarities between Allah and the creation, they are worshipping idols, yani things that are created in the creation. And the Muwahid, the people of Tawheed, worship one Ilah, who is single, unique and alone, and who is yani independent, self-sufficient, and everything is dependent upon Him. And this is what we're going to start with today. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there are any questions, or any comments, or any corrections, inshallah, we'll take them after we break yani for our refreshments. Whoever is able to stay, inshallah, we'll have some refreshments. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone. And that He recognize, record, and reward our good deeds. And that He pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors. And that He grant us al-thabat, that we remain firm upon the sirat al-mustaqim until we return to Him in a condition in which we are pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant a quick and speedy recovery to those amongst us who are sick. And to shower His rahmah upon those who have passed away. And to make their graves spacious and fill them with light. And admit them into His paradise and save them from the punishment of the hellfire and the punishment of the grave. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant relief. To grant relief to the Muslims, men, women and children in Palestine and in Yemen and Sudan and Afghanistan and Pakistan and Iraq and in the Kafir countries in India and China and Burma and every place in the earth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He alone is the one who can grant relief. And we ask Him to grant relief. And we also ask Him to grant success. And we ask Him to grant success to the Muslims in Syria in establishing yani their government upon Islam, and that it be a model for the other Muslim countries, and that it be a source of hope for the Muslims in the world, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who does whatever He wills and He has power over everything. Ameen ya Rabb. Fayb, inshallah, whoever is able to stay, we're going to have some light refreshments. Inshallah, we'll have a chance for questions or any comments at that time. Barakallahu feekum.